Preston and Steve Fun Size.
An Illinois man found a 1950s McDonald's hamburger and half-eaten fries in his bathroom wall as he and his wife were working on renovations.
That's where I my burger's on the wall.
Rob Jones said that he and his wife were removing a toilet roll holder, and they came across a cloth inside a wall. They pulled it out. They found McDonald's food from the 1950s wrapped inside of it.
This happens because a guy who does work at my house named Mark, he has he was talking about a construction thing that happened, and they opened up like a wall or something and found lunch remains of the crew that worked on it.
Yeah, wow. they'll just throw seal stuff in there and seal it up. So Jones said despite the fries' age, they didn't smell at all.
Wow.
And he also posted photos of the meal on Reddit where some users jokingly asked how the meal tasted, and another used the term forbidden fries. So there you go. That's what we have. We have a guest on the line.
Yeah, gotta go.
So we gotta go to them right now because I'm excited to speak to her. She is an incredible talent. We have a little bit of the clip of the song, Casey.
Yes, sir.
Live With Me, a Rolling Stones cover, which is really cool. I'll bet you she played bass on this, by the way. I love that distorted, funky bass. But there is a documentary. Premieres on Showtime on May 6th. It is called Cheryl, and it is all about our guest. Please welcome Cheryl Crow to the show this morning. Hey, Cheryl, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm totally grossed out by the song story, but I'm good, other than that.
Gnarly. Hey, so quick question. Is that you playing bass on that song?
That is not me playing bass. That's my buddy Jeff Trott.
No kidding.
I'm playing guitar, but I'm not playing bass.
Okay. I've seen you play bass before. You play a whole bunch of instruments, right?
Yeah, I do. But I do have to say bass is my favorite.
Okay. Bass is your favorite.
I remember seeing you at, it was an award ceremony or something like that, and the Stones were there via satellite, and Bill Wyman wasn't playing bass for him, and you said, I'll play bass for you.
I don't know why they didn't hire me.
All right.
I'll still do it.
Would have been a perfect fit. Wow. Cheryl, with this documentary, when you were approached that they were going to be doing, you know, your story, were you all in immediately? Were you a little hesitant, or what was your mindset?
I was like, absolutely not. No way.
Yeah.
The documentaries are about people who died in fiery plane crashes. but no, I, you know, after sitting down with my manager who's been with me for years and years and years, and talking about, I mean, we have literally 30 something years of life experiences, not just everything about music business, but it's much more about the person. And I said, if you will promise me that this story will be about what happens in life for somebody who is on this trajectory, and not have it be about, oh, she's won this award and she's played with this person, then I would consider doing it. And we hired a great director, and it's pretty real. I mean, it's pretty raw, but I think she really did capture the full story.
Well, the director's Amy Scott, who directed a movie that I loved, a documentary about one of my favorite directors who passed away too early, Hal Ashby.
I love that documentary. And that's the reason I hired her, because I thought, gosh, she's got beautiful taste. Her artistic choices were fantastic, and she captured him.
So. Yeah, it wasn't a fawning. It avoided all the things you said you wanted to avoid with yours, and it just gives you. It's also a snapshot in time, which when a documentary is done right, there's nothing better. So, but I sense with you the thing we all sort of think like, oh Jesus, how am I going to end up looking on this thing? You know, it's a precarious thing when you're presented with that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of letting go, you know.
Yeah.
When they completed it and they sent it to me, I watched it, and first and foremost, I was like, oh my God, I look so old. But no, get over it. And then secondly, there's like, well, I wish this was in it, and I wish that was in it. And when you're dealing with 90 minutes, there's the opportunity to make 6 or 7 or 10 different documentaries just from the hours and hours of footage. So there's quite a lot of... you know, there's a ton of backstory that's not in it, but you know, as a director, you have to trust that they've chosen what the most important aspects to the story are. And I do believe that Amy did that. And I think a lot of people will relate to my story and the fact that there's the story about being a woman rising up in a business, which it doesn't matter if it's the entertainment industry or whether it's a business. I mean, you're going to encounter some really uncomfortable challenges when you consider that most businesses are run by men, you know, and particularly in the entertainment industry. And being diagnosed with breast cancer and getting older in the entertainment business and just all the things that go along with being around as long as I have, not to mention mental illness. And I shudder when I say that, but
yeah.
You know, a lot of people are like me who have to figure out how to navigate low lows. I'm a person that experiences emotion extremely acutely. I have high highs and low lows, and it's all in there. I mean, it's pretty raw. It's, you know, it's sort of like a let it all hang out documentary.
Do you know what it's when you, and I know what you're saying, when someone else can hear someone that they perhaps look up to or perhaps enjoyed your music or anyone who can speak to something they're going through, it's almost like, you know, the air escaping from the pain and the discomfort of, you know, holding that in. And so it's such a healing thing to do that. There was a documentary, and you know, about Helen Reddy.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Yes, it was unbelievable. And so
amazing.
That sort of stuff.
We only know her from I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. There's a whole person in there that you don't know.
Right.
That was such a good documentary.
I'm excited to see this because I want to see the steps in your career. I grew up in the St. Louis area, so I was familiar with your band Kashmir that had played in and around the area.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
yes.
and
shocking, we didn't make it.
Hey, I was in a local cover band there too, so I know what you went through. But taking those steps from that to being singing with Michael Jackson to then boom, next thing you know, your career launches. It seemed like it went pretty quickly from, you know, just being in a local cover band to all of a sudden starring. Did it happen fairly quickly in your mind?
Oh, I don't think it ever happens fairly quickly in anyone's mind, unless you go on The Voice or American Idol or something like that, where
right.
You go from absolute no one knows you to having 30 million built-in fans. For me, when I first started, obviously there wasn't social media, there was nothing like that. I mean, I think there was Star Search or something like that. But,
right.
I mean, there were a ton of years where, I mean, obviously I was a school teacher in St. Louis, and then I went to Waiting Tables, and I went on the road with Michael Jackson, and then I went back to Waiting Tables. And, you know, there was a lifetime of work and experience before I ever became Sheryl Crow.
Right.
And while it looked like I shot to fame, I mean, even when the first album came out.
Yeah, when Tuesday Night Music Club hit, I mean, like, it was just like hit after hit after hit after hit. It was like that Alanis Morissette, she exploded
yeah.
that way, too. That had to have been kind
right.
of overwhelming.
But we had already been on the road for a year before anything ever really hit.
Okay.
So we felt like, okay, we're done, we're going to move on. And then suddenly the Grammys happened, and All I Want to Do won. And, you know, that's the interesting thing about doing a documentary now and looking back. You know, 30 years later, that overnight thing and the fact that most people will associate you with your biggest hits, like All I Want to Do and If It Makes You Happy and Winding Road, and they think you're just this happy, feel-good person. You know, this song called All I Want to Do, right?
Right.
But there's a whole world that goes on when you are a really private person and all of a sudden you're a celebrity, and there's not a handbook for how to live as a celebrity without... You know, getting your feelings hurt,
yeah.
You know.
I would absolutely agree. I mean, the process of getting slapped around a little bit makes you appreciate when it does hit. I think that's, I have moments in my life and building the radio career that we have here where, like, you know, at the time it's like, this is the absolute worst thing to ever happen to a human being. And now I celebrate those things and missteps because, man, it puts everything that I have now in context.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think that's basically the story of being alive. You know,
yeah.
Everything in your life is sort of like a marker to help you remember who you are, like who you authentically are. And to be able to do a documentary, and especially to be able to put out a soundtrack that has all this music, you know, from years and years, but also to be able to put new music on it, like the song Live With Me and have Mick play on it. I mean...
Oh.
It's just incredible, and to put out, we've got a song called Forever, first time I've ever let my kids be in a video.
nice.
So my kids are finally going to have faces. my kids, and you know, I mean, it's just, it feels very, very sweet.
We're really looking forward to it.
And so the album and the doc are going to be on the same day, May 6th, I believe, correct?
That's right. That's
excellent.
Right.
All right, Cheryl, huge fans. Congratulations, and can't wait to see the film. And thank you for joining us this morning.
You guys, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Cheryl Crow,
yay!
Guys. She's awesome, man. She's great. And we did know in the cover band circuit.
Yeah.
We heard rumblings about this singer and how she went on. Dude, she's singing freaking with Michael Jackson now. She was backup singer for Michael Jackson.
She has some wild stories about that Michael Jackson, for some reason, she was a target of his for playing practical jokes.
Oh,
so
really?
So when they'd be singing, he'd be throwing grapes over a partition onto her and stuff. And she said she'd hear him. Let me ask you, she taught school in St. Louis. Did she teach at the elementary school? Not, obviously you weren't going at that time, but.
No, she was in a different area called Fenton, Missouri. I didn't grow up in there, but yeah. And she's only a few years older than me. I don't know, like 7 or 8 years older or something like that. But she went to University of Missouri and was in and around that area.
Right, so. Right, right.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.